Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We certainly hope to get to as many calls today as we possibly can. We also have some other things that we want to talk about in today's broadcast. A little bit more about mercy. That's our theme for this month. It's an amazing word. It really taps into the very heart of God. He has this mercy inside of him that moves him to act on our behalf. God truly is rich in mercy, and we see that as a part of his plan to save all of mankind, both Jew and Gentile. Yes. There's a powerful passage in Romans 9 through 11, a whole theme, and we get so confused when we work through it because we're saying, wait a minute, God's predestined some and not others, and we get lost in that kind of rhetoric. But it's really a story of God's plan to save both Jew and Gentile. He is interested in both. When he gave the promise to Abraham, he said, through your seed, the entire world is going to be blessed. All nations will be blessed. And the Jewish people thought it was just all about them. And that was never the case. And the Gentile people now think it's all about them. But that's never the case either. It's all about Jew and Gentile. And this mercy of God plays an incredible role in the execution of that plan. We see it at the end of Romans chapter 11. And Paul writes this, just as you, and he's talking about the Jew, who were at one time disobedient to God. No, actually, he's talking about the Gentile there. Yeah. Sometimes I have biblical dyslexia.
Don't try this at home.
That's right, that's right. So here, just as you, Gentile, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience. Yeah. That's the Jew. So they, too, have now become disobedient in order that they, too, may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. So we need mercy, whether we're Jew, whether we're Gentile. When we came into this world, we needed mercy.
Yes.
God is a God that is rich in mercy, and he wants to bestow that upon us. But we're not going to cry out for mercy until we know that we need mercy.
Yes.
We see that in the gospel accounts time and time again as Jesus moves through the towns and the countryside. People are there crying out to him, Lord, have mercy upon me. And he acts every single time with compassion, with mercy, and brings about healing. To the blind, he opens their eyes so that they can see. To the lame, he enables them to walk. He is demonstrating that God is a merciful God. Well, what is our greatest need? Forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ.
Yes.
And when we cry out for mercy, that's what we receive, forgiveness of sins and new life in Jesus. And that's what the Jew needed, and that's what the Gentile needs. And how are we going to know that until we come to the point where we see that we need mercy and we cry out? Well, the Jew said, we're God's chosen people. We were made partakers of the covenants and the promises and all of these sort of things. Why do we have a need for a Savior? And when Jesus kept talking about the fact that repent, come to me for forgiveness of sins, they're thinking, why? We don't need forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
We're okay. We're already in. We're good. And so they harden their hearts toward Jesus. And in that hardening, that opened the door for this message to go to the Gentiles. Now, why is that important for us to understand? Well, if this was just a Jewish message and they had received Christ when he offered himself to them, then the Gentiles would have shut their hearts to the Lord. And so in God's wisdom, he hardened the hearts of the Jew, and we see that all throughout his ministry, all throughout Peter's ministry, all throughout Paul's ministry, where at the end of the book of Acts, Paul just throws up his hands and says, you know, from now on, I am taking this solely to the Gentiles. Why? Because they will listen. You hear what I say, but you don't have ears to understand. You understand my words, but you can't comprehend. You're missing the message that Jesus is this Messiah that you've longed for. Yes. No, he's not conquering Rome, but he conquered sin and death, your real enemy. Now come to him by faith. And they said, no, we're going to go do our own thing. Yep. That swung the door wide open for the message to go out to the Gentile world. Mm-hmm. And so today we're in the age of the Gentiles. When that's over, then God is going to go back, circle back to the people of Israel, and they're going to see their Messiah. They're going to understand that it truly was and is and forevermore will be Jesus. And they will receive the mercy of God, the mercy that he extends to all in Christ. That's his plan. I grew up as a Georgia Bulldog fan. I'm still a Georgia Bulldog fan. I wear the red and black. I love the Bulldogs. That means I'm a Florida Gator hater. I don't like the Florida Gators. We just have a rivalry. So suppose Jesus had come to the Georgia campus and had offered himself to all the Georgia Bulldog fans. What would the Florida Gators think about that? They wouldn't respond to Jesus at all. No. Why? Because he's wearing the red and black. He's not wearing the blue and orange. He's not a Gator like we are. Well, what if all the Georgia Bulldogs rejected him? And then he went over and they say, hey, if the Georgia Bulldogs are rejecting, we might open our hearts. We might receive what this guy is saying. Well, if that happens, he still has in mind the Georgia Bulldogs, and eventually he'll come back around. That's kind of the story, a silly illustration, but it works in my mind. But I think that's exactly what God did in Christ and with his mercy. Yeah. He has bound up all into disobedience so that all could receive the mercy of God.
And even with that, the Jewish people can still respond to Jesus. I mean, it's not like they're prevented. It was their own hard hearts. And so everybody wins if we come to Jesus.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying. So too, at the present time, this is Romans 11, 5 and 6, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace.
Yes.
And if by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. Mm-hmm. So it's not to say that Jews, individual Jews, aren't coming to Christ, because they are.
Absolutely.
There is a remnant. And how are they coming? They are coming by grace through faith in Jesus in exactly the same way the Gentiles are. That's why this is such an amazing plan of God. And as Paul ends the book of Romans, or Romans 11, he says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. We all need mercy. God is rich in mercy. When we recognize that, when we see and have those dots connected, that's when salvation comes to both Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Let's talk more about the mercy of God and how it impacts our lives on a day-to-day basis. We would love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Well, let's start in Fort Worth, Texas. Talk to Daniel listening to us on the Word. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was listening yesterday, and a question came to me, but as I was on hold, a gentleman got on and seemed hostile to the limitless ability of our Lord and Savior. And I wanted to first touch base on that, but then ask my question.
Okay.
He was saying that the because I'm going to call it blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin. You explained it in such another way that I can't recall. But the point of the matter you guys were trying to make that he wasn't receiving, and to any other listener that may be listening that may be battling with this question also, is the fact that God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, he is a gentleman. And it takes you to say, Lord, you know I denied you in the past. I know that I said you weren't real. I know that you showed me, but you are real, in order for him to come in. And that is the mercy and grace. And it just seemed like he was trying to battle with you guys yesterday that there is a limit on our God. And really, it's because he wasn't, in his argument, understanding that there's a major element that the Lord is waiting on. It's the individual.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Daniel. This is a by grace through faith in Jesus. You know, grace is limitless. The enemy to grace is sin and death. And grace has already won that battle. And so God, in his grace, can make any person alive. But that transaction happens by grace through faith in Christ. So you had a question for today?
Yes, sir, I did. Sorry, my GPS is going on in the background. my question was that when we do these things in Christ, like when it comes to sin, all right, we are believers. God is merciful. His presence is limitless. His grace is amazing. It's like when you're a toddler, you look up at your parents and you know that there's safety there. And that's how it is with God. All right. But even when our parents, for instance, I'll use that as a demonstration, said don't do something and we did it, we still had to face consequences for our actions. Not necessarily punishment by them, but say you're in the real world, there's laws and there's things that you do. Now, sin does have consequence. It's forgiven spiritually, but there is worldly consequences for our sin, such as the lady who called in about the murdering and then being forgiven about it later.
Well,
and
Daniel, that's
what y'all had to say about that.
Yeah. Well, sin does carry with it consequences.
Yes.
So sin, just as Satan, sin will still kill and destroy. That's the very nature of sin. The wages of sin is death. When Adam and Eve chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was a consequence. That consequence was spiritual death. That spiritual death was passed on to every one of us. So say, Daniel, someone chooses to commit adultery. So they have, here's a guy that goes to work every day, and works closely with his secretary, and sparks begin to fly, and he decides to have sexual relationships with that person. Well, that choice is going to have consequences on his marriage and on his family, consequences that may lead to a divorce. And when a divorce happens, there's going to be further consequences to the kids and that sort of thing. So we're just going to see a rippling effect of those consequences, how they affect other people. Sin is the opposite of love. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Sin does do harm to its neighbor. Sin does do harm to us. So we suffer those consequences. But the punishment of those sins, that's already been dealt with. Jesus took care of that at the cross. So we were dragged into God's courthouse, his courtroom. Ample evidence was presented that we were guilty of sins, and every single one of them was kind of listed out there, every one that we would do from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. And Jesus said, I'm willing to take the punishment for each and every one of those. And that's exactly what he did. He suffered our punishment. So there's no more punishment for our sins. That went upon Jesus. So when you sin today, Daniel, when you sin tomorrow, as far as the punishment aspect is concerned, that's already been dealt with. You may think punishment is forthcoming, but that's not true. That's already been put upon Jesus. He turned aside the wrath of God, taking away your sins once and for all. But that doesn't change the fact that sin itself has consequences. It does stuff to us inside. It damages our relationships. There's all sorts of things that sin brings about. We see it in this world all the time, don't we?
Yes, sir. I'm so glad you guys touched bases on that for other people to hear, because so often we act as if God is trying to punish us. And like some of my brothers, bro, you're forgiven, brother. You gave that to Christ. But, well, he did this. No, you did this.
That's
he
right.
He told you, hey, follow me, do this. But you chose to do that. And in your sin, that is your consequence, but not your punishment. Because at the end of the day, when you leave this shell that he has given us, this experience here, you know, you're good. You're going to go before him. Christ is going to stand up and say, wait a minute. Father, this one, he's with us. He's mine. It's okay. He's forgiven.
Well, there's a consequence of love. So when God works through us to move us to love others, there's a consequence. It's a good consequence. Mm-hmm. It's a benefit. We call it a blessing. Yeah. There's a blessing that has taken place within relationships and all sorts of things. But when we choose to go against love, to go against the work of God's Spirit in our life, we're going to see the consequences of that in our relationships. If I choose to get mad at Gina and to raise my voice and to speak in a tone that is harsh, that does damage. That causes consequences. And when I see those consequences, when I see the hurt in Gina's heart, when I see the hurt on her face, when I see that there becomes a distance between us, I say, oh, Lord, my goodness, I've just chosen to do something that brought about harm in another person's life and is going to affect our relationship if something doesn't happen. And so God moves me to go and say, I'm sorry, I did this. And we see God restoring, strengthening, and bringing us back together in such a powerful way.
Well, that's one of the great examples of mercy and grace, is that in spite of the consequences that naturally accrue, God doesn't convict us or condemn us. He comes alongside of us and continues to work through the situation to turn it to our good and his glory.
One of our great verses that we've shared this month relating to mercy, let us go boldly into the throne of grace where we can receive mercy and find grace in our time of need.
Yes.
So when we are suffering under the weight of the consequences of our sin, we can go boldly into the throne of grace, and the blood of Christ gives us the confidence to do that. The fact that he took away our sin, that there's nothing that stands now between us and God, the fact that we've been reconciled, that God is not counting that sin against us, that can give us the courage and the confidence to go boldly into the throne of grace, and we're going to find and receive the mercy and find grace at that time of need, and experience wisdom to move us forward. So that's the good news of this gospel. That's why we have to keep going back to Jesus, who he is, and realizing that he is the one rich in mercy.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, thanks, Daniel. Thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we would love to have it just for bringing such a great question to the airwaves today. You hang on. Let's go to Jersey City and talk with Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. Very good. I just wanted to chime in on this conversation a little bit. The last call was talking about the woman that called yesterday about the thing about if you murder somebody and that. Just on grace generally. I agree with most of what you're saying, with the exception of, you know, the Lord says, in the Bible says, I don't have the scripture in front of me because I don't have my Bible with me, but if the Lord does not chasten us, we're illegitimate children. And I believe that the Bible teaches that God will chastise us for sin. If we're Christians and we're living like the devil, I mean, our sins are paid for.
Well, Nick, he's
by the Lord, but he's going to chastise us.
Yeah, well, Nick, let me jump in. Let me jump in right there. He's disciplining you all the time. He doesn't just wait until, you know, you've committed a sin and then chooses to jump in to discipline you. He is constantly disciplining you. That's what he does as our father. And that role that he plays in our lives legitimizes our sonship. It shows that we truly belong to Christ. So there's a powerful assurance that takes place in there. He's interested. He's involved in us. And the end result is a harvest of righteousness. So his chastisement or his discipline has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with those sort of things. It has everything to do with him disciplining us, equipping us, instructing us so that we can truly experience the abundant life that he has placed in us through the Holy Spirit. So there's a goal in mind. That goal in mind is the harvest of righteousness. So a lot of times we just look at that passage in Hebrews 12 and we say, see there, God disciplines us. Man, when we sin, man, he takes us behind the woodshed. He does whatever. And in that light, we think of it in terms of punishment. He's mad at me.
Well, I've done something wrong.
That's not the case. He's always loving us, and he's demonstrating that to us in various ways. Disciplining us is part of his love for us, and the end result is a harvest of righteousness.
Correct. I agree with you. And I didn't say that it was for punishment. I just said it's chastisement. To think that we can just go on sinning. The object is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is living in us, and if we're constantly rebelling against that Spirit, we're going to be chastised in defect to be molded more like Christ, not as a punishment. But, you know, I think there's a little miscommunication, you know, with calls I hear and stuff, and that, you know, you could just go on doing whatever you want to do, and it's not a big deal.
Nick, we've never,
you know,
ever said that.
But here's the deal.
Here's the deal, Nick.
Sin is not to be taken lightly. And you do get effect from it.
Well, the grace of God is not to be taken lightly either. But here's the deal. Whenever the grace of God is taught, there will be people who will try to use it to their advantage. Jude warns about that. But that doesn't deter us from continuing to teach the truth. Why? Because ultimately, the grace of God is going to engage people in this spiritual process of transformation. So as people continue to hear, then they're challenged to believe, and then they're challenged to live. Not by us or any teacher, the gospel message itself presents those challenges. So that's why it's so vitally important for us to continue to lay out the good news and allow the gospel, the power of the gospel, to do its work. And as you so rightly shared, Nick, Jesus Christ has committed himself to completing the work that he begins. He has committed himself to conforming us to his image. That work will not be thwarted. That work will not be stopped. God will carry that work out in and through us. He's committed himself. He's actually said, this has been predestined. We want to know what's been predestined. It's the fact that God will conform us to the image of his son. That's good news. And we can trust that. We can trust the work of God's Spirit. So if we'll continue to look at what Jesus is doing, we'll just be absolutely amazed as what that looks like coming through us.
Right. I have a bad feeling. I feel bad for some people who may take things the wrong way. I'm not saying what you guys say. I'm just saying in general that, you know, that sin is
Let me give you a little clue. They take it the wrong way because they want to. As Jesus said, I've come into this world, I'm light, but darkness does not like it because they're afraid that their deeds might be exposed. Well, Nick, we're out of time. Hey, thanks for a great conversation. I loved it. You call anytime, my friend, okay? Well, this is Basic Gospel. I want to point people to our trip to Israel next year, February 7th through the 18th. All the information on how you can come join us in Israel, see it through the eyes of the New Covenant, is at our website, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Richard and the whole team, so long from Lewisville, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow.